Which has been sort of hastily scrabbled together to show those of you who weren't here.
I was saying to Ron earlier, it's amazing how in 48 hours you can fall in love with a place and people. I've known Ian and Jamie and Celia just for about 9 months and been looking forward to this for about 6 months since Ian phoned. But you just never know what it's going to be like. And I've so enjoyed Friday and yesterday, and so far I've loved today, so I hope that continues. But part of that is because God's people are here, and so there's fellowship and there's love and there's community, and it's wonderful to see and hear what God is doing in you and through you and because of you. So be encouraged for this stranger who's a dog snatcher. It's been lovely to be with you, but I promise to give Cooper back. I've just been missing my wee boy, Glenn. Sean and I lived in Crete for a couple of years, and whilst we were there, we adopted a wee rescue dog. There's loads and loads of strays. If you've ever been to Greece, you know there's strays everywhere, and we adopted this wee eight-week-old runt that was abandoned with his eyes still closed and about 400 ticks invading his body. We took him to the vets and got him all cleaned up. And we thought we were going to be living in Crete for the rest of our lives, so we had a wee guard dog. He's a tiny wee thing. He's like a Jack Russell with stilts. But we grew to love him, and he grew to tolerate us. So I miss Glenn. So Cooper was my wee surrogate for this weekend. But I'll tell you more about the story of David and Shona as this morning unfolds. I want to tell some of my story, not because I'm important, but because it's the only story that I can say I know because I was there. And so I want to share some of my story of how God has been leading me, how God has been very patient with me, and how God has been building me up over the 54 years of my existence. I want to focus this morning on the theme of restoration. And I wonder what you think of when you hear the word restoration. Perhaps you think on George Clark, the Restoration Man. I love George Clark programs. They seem to be able to transform things. It seems to be in the space of an hour, but we know it takes longer than that. Or maybe you think on Homes Under the Hammer. Maybe you're a morning TV person and you love to watch Homes Under the Hammer, and you can't believe the transformation that they make when they restore dilapidated properties that they pick up for $30,000 and sell for $150,000. But I don't want to think about building restoration. My focus wants to be on human lives. Can we be restored? And I want us to consider three questions. Can our soul be restored? Can our relationships be restored? And can our broken minds be restored? So before I go into that, I want to read from Scripture. If you have a Bible, then please turn to a very, very familiar passage. If you don't, you'll recognize the words. But we want to look in the Old Testament at Psalm 23. Familiar words to many. Often heard at funerals, interestingly, but thankfully valid for every other day as well. So I want to read the words of Psalm 23. Whatever translation you're following in, you'll hear some different ones if you're not got the New Living Translation, the one I'm using. But that's part of the richness of Scripture, that we get lots of different versions. So Psalm 23 in the Old Testament, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on what your word has to say to us this morning, as I share some of my story, I pray that people would not focus on David, but would turn their eyes on Jesus. Teach us through your word and through the songs that are sung that restoration is something that you're passionate about. So watch over every word that's said and speak to every heart and head bowed here. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first question is, can our soul be restored? We live in a broken world filled with broken people, with broken souls. How do I know that's true? Because every one of us here can testify to that being the truth. Why are our souls broken is too broad a question to answer in a morning. But I want to look at one aspect of the brokenness. The Bible teaches us that our souls have been broken by our sinfulness. In the New Testament, in one of Paul's letters in Romans, he says, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. We all know what it is to sin. We all know what it is to do wrong when we should do right. So is there any hope for our broken soul? Or is that it? We're just broken people. In Psalm 24, the one after the one we've just read, we read these words. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. So clean hands and a pure heart are possible. The question is, it's something we have to do? Well, no, because no matter how much we try to scrub our hearts, they'll never be pure. And no matter how much we try to clean our hands because of the things we do, they'll never be clean. But in Hebrews, we read that we can't cleanse or purify ourselves, but can only be cleansed by the blood of Jesus being shed on our behalf. His life and death and resurrection can clean our hands and purify our hearts. So I want to sing a song based on Psalm 24 that calls us back to God and asks, are our hands clean? Are our hearts pure? Can we ascend the holy hill, or do we need to stop at the foot and ask for God to clean our hands and purify our hearts? This is called With All My Heart.
I will come to the hill of the Lord. I will bow down and confess all my sin. Lord, take my hands and wash them clean. Search me, O God, and make my heart pure. Then I will stand and climb your hill with hands washed clean and a heart made pure. I can come into the presence of the King. And as I enter that holy place, I'm reminded it's only by your grace I can worship you and bring you songs of praise. With all my heart, I will love you. With all my heart, I will bring you praise. praise. With all my heart, I will adore you. I will serve you all my days with all my heart. Will you come to the hill of the Lord? Will you bow down and confess all your sin? Are your hands clean? Is your heart pure? Can you sing before your God the song of praise? With all my heart, I will love you. With all my heart, I will bring you praise. With all my heart, I will adore you. I will serve you all my days. I will bring you all my praise. I will serve you all my days with all my heart. With all my heart, with all my heart, with all my heart.
Feel free. I always find in a church service, people don't know, is it okay to applaud? Don't feel you've got to applaud me. Just give me a chance to get a drink. But also, if God speaks to you, give God a round of applause for saying, you can come and worship me. So I don't seek your adulation ever. That's not why I'm here. But if you want to applaud, it gives me a chance to check my guitars in tune and I can get a wee drink of water. So there we go. So we've thought about, can our souls be restored? And we've thought about a possible solution, coming to the hill of the Lord and asking him to clean our hands and purify our hearts. I want to quickly move on to the, can our relationships be restored? We could spend a year in conferences talking about that. But briefly, I want to think about the power of love. Love is one of the most powerful human emotions. Everyone wants to be loved. And every singer-songwriter has written a love song, and this is mine. So forgive me for singing you a love song, but there's a reason behind this story. This was written more years ago than I care to number, 35 years ago, nearly 36 years ago, when I was a wee boy falling in love. At least I like to think I was a wee boy. And I was falling in love. We were in Switzerland. And I'd known this person for about 3 or 4 months and hadn't really thought about being in a relationship with them, and then something happened. You know how it is. And I came home and do what you do. I wrote a song. And then 5 days later, I went and saw this girl and said, I want to sing you a song. How scary is that? She'd only just thought we might be in a relationship. But I believe God used that to confirm that our love was for real. So this is a song, and you'll picture Switzerland as you hear some of the words. But hopefully you'll think about love in your own life and different people that mean something special to you. For the sake of the band, this is chalk in the queue before the shot. I see the sun rise between the mountain tops, snow-covered peaks reflect its rays. I look around and I see the beauty reflected in your face.
You are love, you are everything, you're all I ever need. You my love, you are my everything, you're all I want, all I ever need. As the morning breaks across a cloudless sky, I walk into another day. I feel secure with you beside me now, holding my hand along the way. You are love, you are everything, you are all I ever need. You are my love, you are my everything, all I want, all I ever need. And the more I get to know about you, and the more I fall in love with you, and the more of our lives we share together, and the more of my life I'm gonna give to you. So as we walk this road together, sharing many pleasures along the way, I will hold your hand and sing forever of my love which grows for you every day. You are love, you are love, you are everything, you're all I ever need. You are my love, you are my everything, you're all I want, all I ever need.
Love is powerful. But we all know that we have the capacity not only to love, but also to break hearts and break lives. And all around us, we can see relationships that have been broken. And perhaps you've known this in your own life, or even now maybe going through difficulties in your relationships, whether with a spouse or a child or a parent or a sibling or just a friend. But there's brokenness in relationships all around us and in our own lives. And you might think that someone who could write a song like You Are Love would be immune from broken relationships. Well, if only that was possible, but it's not. 7 years after Sean and I were married, I was the cause of a breakdown in our relationship. And now's not the time to go into the details, but as in any relationship breakdown, there are many people who get caught in the crossfire. Of course, Shona was most hurt by breaking the relationship, or by me breaking the relationship. But friends and family are often left bewildered and feel powerless to help or advise. And one of those who was most damaged by my broken relationship with Shona was my dad. My dad's a West of Scotland man. Never shows emotion. At least not until his son broke his heart. Whew. But due to his heartache, and despite his heartache, he promised me one thing. He would always love me. And that powerful expression of love from a broken man was as close to an image of God as I'd known in the first 30 years of my life. And in the months and years that followed, when I slowly returned to my senses and my heart slowly returned to God, I came back to faith. And although I'd been living with Shona for several months, if she was here, she would tell you, we lived in the same house, but we weren't back together. But in coming back to faith, God rebroke me for good reason and allowed this broken man to seek forgiveness from those he'd caused heartache and pain. And as Shona and I grew again in our relationship, I was often reminded of grace and mercy we receive from our Heavenly Father. I was touched by the grace and mercy I received from my dear wife. And I was challenged by the grace and mercy and love that I received from a father who promised to always love me, even though I broke his heart. So this is a song I never thought I would write, but I had to write 20 whatever years ago, because it's a love song from my dad, and it's called Father's Eyes. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the tears filling up inside. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the pain that they try to hide, cause the son he loves is running away. Told him that he's leaving, please don't get in my way. I've found another life, found another love, and I'm leaving today. I'm leaving today. I'm leaving today. I'm leaving today. Oh, I'm leaving today. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the tears filling up inside. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the pain that they cannot hide anymore. I don't know what to do, but I'm telling you, son, I will always love you, I will always be here. I won't turn my back, but I won't get in your way. I won't get in your way. No, I won't get in your way. I won't get in your way. I won't get in your way. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the tears filling up inside. Look at my father's eyes. Oh, look at my father's eyes. But then the new way turned sour, the new life turned black, the new friends deserted and they ain't coming back. Oh, the new way turned sour, the new life turned black, new friends deserted and they ain't coming back. And I found myself at the foot of the cross. I found myself at the foot of the cross. And I looked into my Savior's eyes, remembered the words of my father's cries. I will always love you, 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 I will always love you. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the tears filling up inside. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the joy that they cannot hide anymore. As the wanderers return, he says, Father, I love you. What a lesson I've learned. You are the only life.
You are the only way, and I'm back here to stay. Yes, I'm back here to stay. Oh, I'm back here to stay. Yes, I'm back here to stay. Oh, I'm back here to stay. Look at my father's eyes, oh, and the tears filling up inside. Look at my father's eyes, oh, look at my father's eyes, I laugh. When I look at my father's eyes, I cry. When I look at my father's eyes, I smile. When I look at my father's eyes, I die. When I look at my father's eyes, I will always love you. 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 Always love you.
Heavenly Father, as I sing that song, I'm so full of gratitude for your grace and mercy, for Shona's grace and mercy, for my mum and dad's love and the support of many people. And in this room, there are broken lives with broken relationships who need to hold on to you in the hope that you can bring restoration to those broken lives. Help us to reflect on this as we hear some more. And as we share some more, in Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I've struggled with since I was a teenager is depression. Sometimes the bouts were short-lived, but others persisted for very long periods. There was many seasons of darkness and times when I thought it would never really end. But ironically, it wasn't until I was 40 that I was diagnosed with depression. It was called all sorts of other things. Panic attack, burnout, exhaustion, stress. And all of those are appropriate terms. But it wasn't until a GP had the courage to use the D word that I actually found hope. Because when you put a proper name on it, you can find a proper treatment. And so I'm grateful for a GP that was courageous and said to me, David, you've got depression. But the next thing he said really touched me. He said, but the good news is we can help you. And I think it's important to highlight that depression is an illness. And part of the treatment in most cases could involve some form of medication. You'd be amazed at the number of good-meaning people in the church who don't necessarily hold to that opinion. That if you've got a broken leg, you need a plaster. If you've got a headache, you need a paracetamol. But if you take antidepressants, they're of the devil. Now, nobody actually said that. But the implication was there in what some people said. But I'm grateful for others who didn't know what to say. Didn't know how to react, but sometimes just put a hand on a shoulder, or a nod, or a smile. I couldn't keep coming to church at times when I was depressed because I found it too painful. I found singing songs hypocritical because I wasn't sure if I meant them. But as I began to be restored, I sought solace in the company of God's people again. And even when they sang, Blessed Be Your Name, and I couldn't sing it. And when they sang, The Lord's My Shepherd, and I couldn't sing it. The words bathed my soul. And so sometimes you'll sit here and think, I don't feel like that. That's okay. But you can allow the words of God's word, primarily, to bathe your soul. And allow the fellowship and compassion of God's people to help you. And for many Christians, certainly in the church that I was at the time and still attend, depression seemed to be this taboo subject that nobody really wanted to discuss because it opened up a whole new area of conversation that made people vulnerable. But again, I'm grateful that through time, the congregation tried to understand. Because the more I opened up about my depression, I wrote articles for the church magazine to try and explain what it feels like to be a Christian living with depression. And was amazed to discover that in every row I could sit in our church, I had fellow sufferers who just put a hand on a knee and said, I know how you feel. And that's sometimes all you need to do. And so I'm glad that the doctor took it seriously, recommended treatment that included medication, included counselling, included therapy, but also encouraged me when he saw improvements to try and wean myself off the medication and continue in the therapy, continue in the counselling, continue in the prayerful support of trusted brothers and sisters from church who could support me through it. And so regardless of whether we're experiencing good or bad physical or mental health, there's some fundamental questions we need to ask ourselves if we call ourselves a person of faith. What do we really know about God? And what does the Bible say about our faith? And does this knowledge have any value in and of itself? Because when I was at my lowest, I didn't forget what I knew about God. I knew that God was perfect. I know his word is true. I know his promises are faithful. But sometimes knowing's not enough. In Psalm 147 it said, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And in Psalm 34 it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. But sometimes knowing those verses isn't enough. I know that Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But sometimes knowing's not enough. And I know that Peter encourages us to cast all our anxiety on God because he cares for us. That sometimes knowing's not enough. And out of the darkness, when I was able to pick up the guitar after 3 years of hiding it in its case because I was scared, when I was able to join with the congregational singing, I wanted to try and express what it really feels like to be a heartfelt Christian but battling with severe depression. So I've written this song. It's the title track of one of the CDs. It's called Even in the Darkest Moment. Tears are falling down like raindrops. Pain is aching in my heart. I never knew I'd feel this lonely. Sometimes daylight seems so dark. Bittersweet memories of a once contented man ebb and flow within my mind. Self-sufficient independence brought me down. How could I have been so blind? Even in the darkest moment, even in the darkest moment, even in the darkest moment, you were there. I know you heal
the brokenhearted. And spirits crushed can be made whole. I know you've said you'll take my burden, and you can soothe the troubled soul. I know you've said you'll never leave me, even when the road gets rough. I know your promises are faithful, but sometimes knowing's not enough. And yet, even in the darkest moment, even in the darkest moment, even in the darkest moment, you were there. Even in the darkest moment, even when the sun stopped shining, even in the darkest moment, you were there. Tears are falling down like raindrops from my face. Pain is aching in my heart. Never knew I'd feel this lonely in a crowd. Sometimes daylight seems so dark. Bittersweet memories of a once contented man ebb and flow within my mind. Self-sufficient independence brought me down. How could I have been so blind? And yet, even in the darkest moment, even when the sun stopped shining, even in the darkest moment, you were there. Even when I didn't love you, told you that I couldn't see you, even in the darkest moment, you were there. Even in the darkest moment, even when the sun stopped shining, even in the darkest moment, you were there. Even when I didn't love you, told you that I couldn't hear you, even in the darkest moment, you were there. You were there, even in the darkest moment, even in the darkest moment, even in the darkest moment, even in the darkest moment. So we've thought about restoration in lots of different ways. Can our souls be restored? Yes, but not all of them, because some people choose to stay broken and don't receive restoration. Can our relationships be restored? Well, thankfully for me, I can say yes, but I know that that's not true for everyone. It may be a marriage that's broken down for you, or it may be a relationship with your mother or father, a brother or sister, a close friend who's no longer close, your children, and you've done everything you can, and the relationship's still broken, and maybe broken beyond repair. Or you've not done everything you can, so maybe you need to do something to restore that relationship. But for some, broken relationships are a reality, and God gives us
the ability to move on. And so we learn from our brokenness, and we hopefully don't take that brokenness into our other relationships. And so I don't want you to get the wrong impression that come to God and all will be well. Come to God and all can be made right. But come to God and you'll still know pain and heartache and brokenness. But you know someone who can help you through your brokenness. We're coming into land. You've been on a bit of a roller coaster ride with the love songs and the heartache songs. One of the things I've been learning recently is something that's probably been in my heart since I was a wee boy. I love heaven songs. I don't know about you, but I really love heaven songs. I always have. And I think I know why. Because I'm not really at home here. We've just built a church in Dumfries that cost over £5 million, and lots of people are really excited about the building. And we keep trying to say to them, it's just a tent. It's a temporary dwelling place. God wants to live in us and work through us. But ultimately, we will only be fully restored when we stand in glory and see him face to face. We sang Hosanna at the beginning of our service, and I love that word. But sometimes we only really think about it once a year on Palm Sunday. What a waste. Because it's a word that cries out, save me. And if you've responded to God somewhere in your past, then you've cried out for salvation and God has offered you that salvation. But the Bible also teaches us that we are being saved. That the salvation process is ongoing. Not that Jesus needs to die for us again, but we are being saved as we grow in our Christian faith. But there's a verse in Revelation 7 that I found one Palm Sunday morning. It had always been there, but I just had never noticed it. And in Revelation 7 and verse 9, in the midst of this amazing revelation that God gave to John, he says in verse 9, after this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white, and wait for it, and held palm branches, and waved them in their hands. And they were shouting with a mighty shout, salvation comes from our God, who sits on the throne, and from the Lamb. So yes, we cry out, Hosanna, save us. And we are being saved. But one day we will be saved. We will be renewed, as it said in Psalm 23 in some of the translations, he renews my soul. Or refreshed. Or I think a more powerful word, restored. And able to worship freely in heaven. So I want to finish with a song that's called The Journey. It reminds us that we're just in a temporary dwelling place. And if we so want, we can spend eternity with God in heaven. But the choice is yours. He'll never force you. Restoration involves something on our part to ask for God to restore us. So this is the journey that we're all on. And after I've finished this, I'm going to ask the band to come and join me and we'll sing a couple of songs together. We know this world is not our home. We're only traveling through. Let us persevere and run the race. Set our course to follow you. We will
fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Along the pilgrim way, He will complete in us work that He began. He's the champion of our faith. You have called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see You face to face. We have come to Christ, the cornerstone, to bring our sacrifice. He will build His church with living stones who will offer up their lives. You have called us out of darkness into Your wonderful light. We declare Your praise, we lift up Your name, let Your glory fill the skies. You have called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see You face to face. Well, we know this world is not our home. We're only traveling through. Let us persevere and run the race. Set our course to follow You. We will fix our eyes on Jesus Christ along the pilgrim way. He will complete in us work that He began. He's the champion of our faith. You have called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see You face to face. We have come to Christ, the cornerstone, to bring our sacrifice. He will build His church with living stones who will offer up their lives. You have called us out of darkness into Your wonderful light. We declare Your praise, we lift up Your name, let Your glory fill the skies. You have called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see You face to face. Yes, You've called us on a journey and led us to this place. Yet we know this journey must go on till we see You face to face. Yes, we see You face to face. One day we'll see You face to face.
So thank you for coming on the journey, even if you didn't buy a ticket, because you maybe didn't know what kind of roller coaster we were going to be on this morning. But I hope and pray and truly believe that God wants to restore broken people. And I know that in this room there are people who've known brokenness, who are experiencing brokenness, and perhaps maybe are the cause of brokenness. And it's not for anyone else to judge, but it's for you to respond. You might want to do that quietly. As we sing a song together, you might just think, no, I'm not joining in. That's fine. Nobody's going to judge you. You might want to reflect quietly at the end of our two songs and just sit in your seat and ask God to tell you a wee bit more. But it would be wrong if we didn't offer you prayer. And so don't wait till the healing service. If you want prayer this morning, there's people here who believe that God answers prayer. And so speak to folks you know and trust. If you want to, come and speak to me. But if you want to use someone locally, then that's wise too. But don't leave here wishing you'd made a response. Make some kind of response. It might just be in the quietness of your heart that you realise your soul hasn't been restored. Or maybe it just needs retuning. Your eyes need to turn back, and your heart needs to turn and look to God again. Or maybe in relationships you just need to ask for God's help to give you the grace, to give you the mercy, to give you the patience and the perseverance, or to renew the love that you lost for someone. And if your minds or bodies are broken, then I can't promise you wholeness. But I can promise you that God loves to restore. Broken hearts and broken minds can be made new. It might take till glory for that to be the case. I still know bouts of depression. I still know times of real anxiety and panic. I know physical illness as well, but that doesn't mean God's left me. Because it's sometimes through those broken times that we're willing to listen and to learn. And when we're self-sufficient and independent, it brings us down. I should have stopped 5 minutes ago, but I sometimes just prattle on. But I'm not rushing away, because I've been promised lunch and a cuddle with my pal Cooper. So please stay behind and chat if you want to. But if you don't, I won't feel bad. We're going to sing a couple of songs. One is more reflective.